Now let's have the benediction. Praise God. Yeah, I don't know what really needs to be added to what we've heard. I've been blessed, haven't you? I'm thankful. I've heard many times, I mean, I've said many times over the years, or referred to the words of Jesus, said, I will build my church. He's got to do the work. He has the ability. He has the call of his Father, the job that's been given to him by his Father of fulfilling the Father's promise. And so if it isn't him working in and through us, it's just us trying to do something religious. And we need the Lord, and we do need to be teachable. So many wonderful things that don't need any confirmation. I'm going to throw this one little thing in. You know, Brother Ricky mentioned this. He was talking about the razor's edge. You have to walk when you're dealing with people between control and you know, being a helpful guy. There is an area of teaching and belief that is very much like that. And there are some things that Brother Ricky said that are absolutely true about the Lord having to do it. And if he doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. They're absolutely right. But the issue that comes up in a lot of people's minds is, okay, what about the ones that don't believe? Does that mean God just arbitrarily sends them to hell? That's where the line comes. And you've got people that go off on one side, and it's all God just makes all the decisions, which is something we've talked about before. And then you got people that say, oh no, it's all up to me. He just tells me about it, and I got to decide. Well, the answer is very much in the middle. Because when you look at the people that Paul refers to, are referred to in the end of Acts, for example, as a perfect example, he quotes the Old Testament. The reason people's hearts were hard, the reason that they could not hear with their ears, is because they had closed their ears when God had spoken to them. See, God does speak, and he does deal with human hearts. But people are responsible for what they do when he does. And so you can get to a point where your heart is so hard and so resistant that God can be present, and it doesn't make an impact, because your heart, it's the condition of your heart that's the problem. God hasn't just said, well, I don't care about you, you just go to hell. See, there's a balance between that power and the necessity of God doing the work and him having a time, an appointed time and a way to do it. Every bit of that is so. But there is a side of human responsibility. No one is going to stand there and say, God, you didn't give me a chance. You're holding me responsible for something that you decided. That's not going to happen either. Amen. So I'm not going to try to explain the whole thing beyond saying that there is that balance, and I want to walk that. I want to just leave the parts I don't understand in his hands. I absolutely agree with Brother Ricky about that. There's stuff that people divide on that they don't need to be divided on. We need the one thing that unites the people of God is, have they been born of his Spirit? And if we have, then praise God. Amen. We're his and we are one, and we need to have a sense of being one with those who really are born of his Spirit, regardless of all these human divisions that have happened. And yet, of course, there's a lot of people that are just religious. And I believe God's going to shake all that out and bring it all to pass. Boy, what an example we had this morning of, you know, what we were talking about last week, about how God has a place for everybody in his kingdom. And every one of us needs to learn and find our place. And of course, the emphasis was, we don't just sit there and it magically happens. We need to start saying, oh God, do what you said you promised to do. Show me my place, help me, and bring me to it. And of course, you know, most of us would like to have a service where some special man of God comes and preaches this and then says, come down to the altar and I will put my magic hands on your head and I will pray a prayer and boom, if you're called to be an apostle, off you go, you're an apostle. It doesn't happen that way. How many of you know that? And how many of you have prayed, oh God, work in my heart, show me what, work in me so that I can be what you want me to be? How many of you know that's a pretty dangerous prayer? Because what often happens after you do that is all hell breaks loose. And I felt like the Lord just, I don't even need to say a whole lot about this because you've heard it all before. But if God is going to bring you and me to that place for which we pray and say, oh God, you have a place, fit me for it, bring me to it, how is he going to do that? You know, a lot of people's conception of the Christian life and what it means to come into the kingdom of God is you get your sins forgiven. You are now handed like almost like a certificate that says you are innocent. This is a, you know, present this at the pearly gates and you'll be let in. And then boom, you get to go from this place to that wonderful place. But God wants to do something in us. There is a transformation. The what we've said so many times is the declaration of our being right in God's eyes and accepted by him is only the beginning. Because we need to be not just delivered from the sins we have committed, but the sin that continues to live in here if something isn't done about it. And when God does something about it, he doesn't say, here are my rules, so now you know what to do, go and do it. I think those of you who've tried to approach and live for God that way, you figured out that ain't going to get it. You're either living in delusion if you think it does, or you realize it doesn't, and you just throw your hands up and say, oh, well, this is as good as it gets. But I'll tell you, God's plan is to bring us to a place. You can read some of the scriptures that the Lord's quickened to me over in Romans, the end of Romans 4 and the beginning of 5. I'm not going to try to do anything more than just take a minute and remind us, because these are things we've talked about. This is not something that's new. Even if I turned this into a sermon, which isn't the Lord's plan. Even if I did, you've heard it all before. But the reality is, when God accepts us, he accepts us on the same ground that he accepted Abraham. God had a plan and a purpose for Abraham's life. And Abraham became a righteous man in God's eyes because he believed God. And he believed him in the face of every impossibility from a human standpoint that such a thing could be. And yet God didn't say, I am going to make you this. He says, I have made you. What an amazing God we have who can declare that I have already done something and yet it hasn't happened. But here's a man who says, I believe you. And God says, you're the guy, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for human merit. I'm not looking for human ability. I'm looking for somebody who just hands their life over to me and believes my word and my promise. All right, now let's go to work. But it didn't happen overnight, did it? How did Abraham become the kind of a man who could hope against hope, as it says, who could have all these things that happened in his life arrayed against the promise of God, against any possibility it could be ever fulfilled? How could God bring him to a man who had a hope resident, operative in his heart? Not just some little theological idea in his mind, but this is a guiding principle that carries me through whatever comes. That's what God is forming and would form in every heart that would come to him and say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. Get ready. God's going to go to work. And God is going to bring you and me face to face with everything that stands in the way of our being what he wants us to be. And we're going to have to go not around the thing. God's not going to remove the giant. We're going to have to go through the giant. We're going to have to go through whatever stands in our pathway, whatever says, no, it can't possibly happen. And we're going to have to do it not with our ability, but saying, God, your grace is enough right today. And I love what Ricky said. Well, I'm not worried about tomorrow. I can leave yesterday behind. I can put tomorrow in your hands. I'm going to take, show me what I need to do today and give me the strength to do what I need today, and that's good enough. Amen. We've got a God who's going to take us where he wants us to go. And the thing that drew my mind to this passage, and my mind tends to go back many times to the King James language, most of my life, it's what I read, And this, it comes back to how Paul leads from the idea of our being right with God to being the kind of person he wants us to be. This is the transition passage, because now we have access to all of this, access to the grace. But this is where he says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. And of course, the King James language is rejoice in tribulation, because why? Tribulation worketh patience. Patience is not something that is magically dumped in a person's heart. Patience comes from having to stand and put one foot in front of another, regardless of what happens. And I know most of you, many of you here, remember many times Brother Thomas using the same illustration about the lady who went to the preacher and said, "Preacher, I have a real problem with being patient. And I need you to pray for me that God will give me patience." So what did he do? They knelt down and he said, "Lord, send this lady tribulation. Send tribulation upon tribulation. Pile it on, Lord. Do." And she said, "Wait a minute. That's not what I was asking. Preacher, I said, I want patience." And he said, "Tribulation worketh patience." The things that you and I need to be what God has called us to be do not happen other than being worked in us, because every natural inclination of the human heart says, "No, I'm not going to do that." And we're going to have to get up every morning and say, "God, I need your grace this moment, this day, to be what you want me to be. And so right now, help me to face this particular giant, this particular issue, and put one foot in front of another and do what I need to do, not with my strength, but with yours." Amen. And by doing that on a day-by-day basis, God will answer the prayer that you prayed. Amen. He will make you what he wants you to be. He is going to form the character through this. Let me just read very quickly, because this isn't going to take any more than this. I'll read it in the newer translation. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance." Perseverance in the things of God is not a natural character. Something's got to work that. It only comes by operation, by actual having to face real issues in our lives. It produces perseverance. But now what happens? Perseverance produces character. Character is not what you would like to think you are. Character is not how you act outwardly toward other people. Character is what you really are down in here. This is what God is changing. If you and I want to be what he wants us to be, if you and I want to be the blessing to one another and the Christ to one another, it's going to have to mean a lot of changes down here. We're going to have to become different people. God is going to form our character through these things, and we're going to have to fight the good fight of the faith. These virtues do not happen simply because God magically puts them in here. We have to take the grace that he gives us, put that into operation, and it will form the character. You look at somebody who's a mature Christian, how do you think they got that way? Do you think they're just different from you? Do you think they're just special and this isn't for you? You dig into the heart of somebody who really has a patience, a grace, that doesn't panic, that doesn't, you know, has all these virtues that we admire from a spiritual standpoint. And if you were to dig into their life, you would find out God has formed those characters, those characteristics, the hard way. They've been through stuff. They have had to stand when it looked like there was no sense in standing. They knew they couldn't do it. They were in way over their head. All they could do is cry out and say, "Oh God, strengthen me, help me to put one foot in front of another and do what you've given me to do. And I'm gonna produce in you that character that I can work through." Boy, the worst thing God could do would be to take somebody who's still full of self and full of all the natural things that are wrong with us and say, "All right, I'm going to give you a spiritual anointing. Go out and heal people." But we've seen too much of that in religion. We need the qualities of character that God is forming in us along with the gifts to be able to operate in the. I'm not just talking about signs and wonders here, but that was just an example. You know what I'm talking about. Regardless of what the manifestation is that God, that Christ would bring through you and through me, it goes hand in hand with the character that he's forming in you and in me. And every day we can do exactly what Ricky says, get up in the morning and look to him. And just ask him for the grace, the divine strength, the divine enablement to put one foot in front of another, to do the right thing, to make the right choices. If we screw up and we, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that word. If we mess up, that we need to learn from that too. He talked about the fact that you know, there's a freedom to make mistakes. We don't always get it right. Well, what do? We pick ourselves up and we say, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the blood that was shed, Lord. I can get up and I can go on, not because of anything in me, not because I've earned this, but because of what Jesus did. This is part of what he's provided for me so that I can get up and go on. And as I get up and I go on and I fight the giants that I have to fight, you're going to form strength and courage in me and character that's going to go along with that gift. And so when it comes forth, it'll be Christ and not me trying to act spiritual. He is doing what he alone can do. Thank God. I just want to be on board with it. You know, I thought about, the one obvious example, I guess, many of them, but Caleb was made a great promise that because of his faithfulness in the face of the unbelief and the rebellion of most of the rest of the nation, when they were going into the land and spying it out, Moses made a promise that the land you set your foot, the place you set your foot on, that's going to be yours. That's your inheritance. And so there came a day when he went to Joshua and said, you remember? Remember what the prophet said? Remember what Moses said? Give me my mountain. Well, there were giants on that mountain. They probably didn't want to go. And so here, so Joshua, you know, obviously said, go for it. The Lord has blessed you. This is yours. But what was necessary in order for him to possess that mountain? He had to fight, and he had to do it with the help and the blessing of God. And you and I, whatever God has given to you, whatever mountain in God's kingdom God has given to you, God will be with you to possess it. And with me to possess it. Boy, I'm preaching to myself today. But I preach it to every one of us because we fight the same battles. There are things in here that would stand in the way of God using us and us being effective. And God's going to deal with them. So if you start praying, saying, oh God, give me my gift. Show me my place. Get ready. But don't be afraid. God's going to take you to swim against the tide or against the current, all the ways that we picture this. You're going to have to fight for what God's given you, but God will be with you when you do it. And he will change your heart, your character will be formed, and you will have a solid foundation as a result of God. Tribulation works patience, and patience hope. You know, hope is the final thing there on the list. I didn't get to that. That's okay. Hope is when I know that God's promise is true. I have a conviction in here that regardless of the timing, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the obstacles, God's word trumps everything. And that is where my hope is at. That does not come naturally. That comes through real life experiences of having to stand against adversity. And it will happen. Don't be afraid of it. That's how God answers our prayer. And to him be the glory. God is going to do something in every life that will just give themselves to him and say, God, do what you got to do. I want to be the kind of person you want me to be. Praise God.